Vayera this week. Vayera Elav Hashem be'Elone Mamre. God appeared to Avraham in Elone Mamre, in the plains of Mamre. V'hu Yoshe Pesach Ha'Oel Kachom Hayom. And he's sitting by his tent. Vayisa Einav, he lifts up his eyes. Vayar, and he looks. V'nei Shlosha Anashim Nitzavim Alav. Three people coming in his three. It was actually three angels, but they were dressed up as people coming his way. Vayar, he ran. Vayarat, he saw. Vayarat Zekrosam, he ran to take care of them. And he says, don't worry, I'll take care of you. Yuchaknam ha'mayim, I'll give you some water to wash your feet. And then, Vecha paslechem, besardu livchem, he took out, we'll give you all the good food, the meat, the ribs, the potatoes, etc. So we find the beginning of the parsha that God appears to Avraham. So Rashi points from the Chazal, why was he visiting Avraham? It says, Levakir es achole, to visit the sick.
He just
circumcised. Right, why was he sick? Because at the end of last week's portion, Abraham just did a circumcision on himself, that is. And imagine you're a 99-year-old man, and imagine the pain involved. And as you know, as the joke goes, what's the difference between major surgery and minor surgery? When it's happening to you, it's minor. It's happening to me, it's major. So in fact, speaking of that, when I was in the hospital many years ago for my kidney stones, and see, now they do the same procedure. It was same day, like when I did it, because with Dr. Zickman, I was in the hospital for I don't remember how long, but now with modern technology, I came in the morning and left at night. And, you know, so either way, so I was in the hospital and this guy next to me, I had no idea, he was an elderly gentleman, maybe then I felt it, now I don't feel he's old anymore, but let's say, 20 years ago, I thought 70 was old, maybe. So he was about 70, and he was in a lot of pain. So I guess we got into conversation. I said, "What are you in for?" He said, "A circumcision." I said, "Why are you getting circumcised?" Like, he wasn't Jewish. He looked, I think he was Indian. I think it was a health issue, something with diabetes. I don't remember The bottom line is, he wasn't doing it for fun. I think that was a given. He, medically speaking, he had to do it. So he was in there. So I just remember how much pain he was in. So Avram, 99 years, that's before anesthesia, all our modern. So he was in pain. And we have a tradition, the third day is the worst pain. The third day, and that's, I think medical science has come around. Usually the third day after the surgery is the most painful, the most dangerous. Either way, Yom Shlishi L'Milaso is the third day and he was in the most pain. So all of a sudden, he looks up in the middle, he's sitting there, it's a hot Chamsan, it's a brutal hot day in Israel, like, you know, in the Middle East over there. And he looks up and he sees these three people coming towards him. So all of a sudden, he jumps up. I mean, you know, he's sitting there in pain the whole time. He jumps up, and he runs to take care of them. So it seems strange. He's in the middle of talking to God. God came to visit. He was paying us a Bikur Cholam call. And all of a sudden, sorry, God, I got to run now. And he runs, and he takes care of these three Arabs on the street. So the Gemara learns out for us, did Avram do the right thing? So the Talmud tells us, yes, he did the right thing. And we learn a principle from here. What is the principle we learn? Gedola hachnosas archim, greater is the mitzvah of entertaining guests, hachnosas archim, mikapolas pnei hashchina, from talking to God, from accepting his presence. So we see, and we learn it from Avram. Avram was in the middle of speaking to God. That's a big mitzvah. But yet taking care of people in need is a bit greater mitzvah. So that's how we know it. So we learned that from Abraham. The question is, how did Abraham know that? It seems like it's chutzpah. Like you're talking to God and you say, God, wait a second, let me go over and take care of these people. So the commentators explain as follows. No, how did Abraham know? Because God told him. We don't find God telling him explicitly. So God told him implicitly. How did he tell him? He said that we know in general Moshe Rabbeinu is the father of all prophets. And by father, we don't mean the first one. There were many prophets before Moshe, i.e., Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Sarah, all the prophets. We had many prophets before Moses, but we have a tradition. Moses was the only one to speak to God face to face. Everyone else, when did God come down? Bachaloma, you're in a dream, you're in a deep sleep, you were like spaced out, you weren't in your normal talking like we're talking now. So what happened? So only Moshe Rabbeinu was able to speak to God, so to speak. But everyone else, they were in a deep sleep, and God came in a dream. So basically it was like pitch black, and you know, it's fuzzy, and you know, you had conversations with God. So all of a sudden, Avram's talking to God, so he's in a usual deep type of sleep or spaced out type of thing. And all of a sudden, in the middle of speaking to God, he sees these three people. So he's thinking, what's going on here? I never see anyone when I'm talking to God. It must be God's telling me, if I could see someone now, he's telling me, take care of the guests. I can wait. Don't worry, I don't have any needs. I don't need your help. These three strangers need your help. Go ahead and take care of them. So we learn it out from Abraham, but Abraham learned it out from God. And that's a general rule in Judaism that greater is. What does that mean? Greater is entertaining guests than, let's say, talking to God. Talking to God is like davening, praying. Because it's gedola, meaning that if you want to be. Because we have a principle that we learn out that we try to imitate God. It's like God is merciful, we're mercy. God takes care of the guests, we take care of the guests. God does nichum avelim, comforts the mourner we do. So we learn out from God. So how does one come closer? How does one come closer to God? So we're saying gedola haknasas archim. When we do an act of entertaining guests, that's even greater than speaking to God directly. So we see from Avraham that we say follow Avraham around for a day, and we see how to become a mensch. The ultimate praise is someone who's a mensch. It's hard, you know, it's hard to put that into an English word, but everyone knows what a mensch is. That's the ultimate of Avraham Avinu, the good person, someone looking for acts of kindness. So in fact, it's very strange. We find him going all out. He got the meat, the potatoes. He had a full meal. He made for the guest.
Cholent.
Cholent, the works, cholent, kugel. Unless it might have been Pesach, so I'm not sure exactly. But either way, we worked it out. When it comes to the water, he's very stingy with the water. It says, "Yukach na ma'at mayim." He says, "Just take a little bit of water." Like, why is he so cheap with the water? Like everything else, when it came to the ribs, the potatoes, the kugel, the cholent, the doubles and triples, the kishka, whatever you want. But when it came to water, he's a little stingy. So one explanation is from the Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim writes was and says that there are two mitzvahs of entertaining guests. There's a mitzvah of kabdeu, to honor them, and chashteu. But you can't be naive. If you're inviting someone off the street who you don't know, or you just see them in synagogue, they say they're from out of town, you don't know who they are. You can't just leave them in your house alone. You come back, the silver will be gone or whatever. So there's a mitzvah of honoring your guest, but you can't be naive. If someone says, you know, if someone has an ad, they're looking for someone to work behind the cash register. You have to make sure that they're not a bunch of crooks. You have to check into it. However, there's a way of degrees. So when it comes to the mitzvah of honoring, that you should go all out on. If you're doing chashteyu, you do a minimum. Like some people, Well, until I get my FBI report back or CIA or police, I'm not going to have anyone over. You know, you never have any guest over. So you have to, the focus should be on the honor, and the minimum is the suspecting. And therefore, that's why only, what did they do with the water? Because back in the day, they used to worship the earth on their feet. So he gave them a little water to wash, just in case they worship idols, he has a little bit of water. So when it came to suspecting them of idol worshippers, he did the minimum. When it come to giving him food, he did the most. You had something to say or not?
Yes.
Okay.
Michelangelo.
Yeah.
Came to that conclusion as well. Don't ask why.
Yeah.
Because he followed the precept of God. God came to him and told him, "Imitatio Deo." You are to copy or follow the precept of the Torah. And your father has told you that you can it's hard for me to find the words because I've forgotten many of the words myself.
Right. That's so interesting. Oh, his father told them?
Yeah, in the time of God.
Yeah.
The father told Abraham, the son, that he should
Have guests over.
He should have guests over. And it should be water.
Oh, yeah, the whole works, yeah.
Yes.
In fact, Rav Nissen Alpert, who was a top student of Rav Moshe Feinstein, who passed away in 1986. He was one of the great rabbis in the world, but he lived on the Lower East Side of Manhattan. Very close to me, because my father had a store on Orchard Street there for many years. So Gertel's, the bakery, Shmolka Bernstein's, Ratner's, Crown's Deli, the works. It brings up a lot of good memories. I think Walk's, the pistachio place, a lot of good memories for me on the Lower East Side. So either way, Rav Nissen Alpert explains that, that Avraham Avinu is teaching us a method in kindness, that basically what the general rule is, and people usually do the opposite, when you're volunteering yourself to do something, then you go all out, do as inconvenience yourself as much as possible and go to all the limits. But when you're telling someone else to do something for you, that's when everyone becomes ecstatic at someone else. Oh, why don't you go to the airport, pick this, why don't you go do this? When people are volunteering other people, they become tzaddikim. But when they're doing it now, just do the minimum. So that's what Rav Alpert, but just the opposite. When Avram, when he took care of the meal, him and Sarah, so the best Miami ribs, rib steak, brisket, cholin, kushka, the works, everything was the best. And they went out, but when it came to water, it's not like today where you go a couple of feet away, you turn on the sink and you turn on the water. Back in the day, you had to go to the wells, and the wells could have been miles away, and someone had to schlep the water back. So as Rashi says, he sent someone else to get the water. So if Avram himself was going to get the water, I'm sure he would have filled it up. But he's telling someone else to get the water, so yukach na ma'at mayim. Just get a little bit because it's going to be a big schlep. So therefore, that's what Avram's teaching us, a tremendous lesson in acts of kindness. That when you're doing it yourself,
did the same thing.
Exactly. So when you're doing it yourself, you go all out. But if someone else, you're asking someone else to do something, then you should become the minimum. As Rabbi Yisrael Salanter used to say, one of the great Bali Musar, that really people have it the opposite. He says the way it should be is when it comes to one's own ruchnius, one's own spiritual concerns, then you should go all out. and your physical concerns, you could lighten up a bit. When it comes to someone else, when it comes to their physical concerns, that's when you should go out. People say, well, when people are worried about someone's spiritual, not you shouldn't worry about it, but first take care of the physical needs. Before you take care of those people's physical needs, you're not going to be you're not going to be able to significantly help them on a spiritual level. So that's what you saw Salantu said, the same as Avram Avinu, as the same as Rav Alpert, that's a lesson in loving kindness. In fact, we see from Avram Avinu that as well, don't be a tzaddik at someone else's expense. We read last week that
a tzaddik impels.
Right, very good. That we saw that when Avraham was fighting different wars last week, so when you fight a war, you get the booty. You're entitled to, that's the law of the land. If you win the war, it's yours. So we find something strange. So when it came to the king, when Sodom, the king of Sodom, offered Abraham all the things, he said, "I don't want anything. I don't want people saying you made Avraham rich. Only God makes Avram rich." Avram didn't want to take anything. Yet, in the beginning of the portion, when King Paro offered him, he said, "Yeah, I'll take it. Let me have everything." Like, he was desirous. He wanted it. So what's the difference? When it came to the king of Sodom, he said, "No way. I'm not having anyone say I want Avram making rich." But yet, when it came to King Paro, he took it. To the many answers, but the Tolna Rebbe has a beautiful explanation that he says is a fundamental difference, he says, because originally when we meet Avraham Avinu, and Rashi spells it out, that he was traveling from inn to inn, and Rashi tells us, the Chazal tell us, he was living on credit. See, before the days of Visa, MasterCard, all these other type of credit cards, Avram was living on credit. So when you're a Baal Chov and you owe someone money, you can't be a tzaddik at someone else's. Let's say I owe someone $100 and someone wants to give me a $100 gift. So, I don't like taking gifts. It's not for you to decide. If you owe this person $100 and you can't pay them back, and someone wants, then you are obligated to take the $100, because it's nice not to take gifts. But if you owe someone money, you take the gift and then you pay that person back. So when you're a Baal Chov, you owe someone money, you have obligation. So don't be a tzaddik at some. So when Avram owed money, so when the king of power offered him money, he had to take it, because if you have debt, you have to pay the other people back. However, when it came later on to Sodom, Avram already was wealthy. He was well known. When he took the money, but he didn't take the money to make himself rich. He took the money so he could pay back his loans. But he didn't owe any money anymore. I don't owe any money. So, Sone Matonas Yechia. You don't take gifts if you don't have to. It's a nice midas, it's a nice extra thing if you don't want to do. So, therefore, that's the difference. When he owed money, of course, take the money so you can pay back. But if you don't owe money, Sone Matonas Yechia. There's a famous story with Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. I think it was in the 70s, and during that time, 70s, 80s, there was problems with the tefillin and the mezuzahs, a lot of fake mezuzahs and tefillin. They were putting comic strips into the tefillin in the movie, and there was a whole big thing that broke out. Now today it's much better. We have Stam, but back in the day it was a major problem. Many people, they checked all the mezuzahs and they were all puzzle. They were all no good. And it cost a lot of money to pay for mezuzahs. So they were having speeches what to do. So one rabbi got up and said, "Don't worry, we have a gemach. We have a charity fund. Whoever can't afford it, don't worry. We're happy to lend you money," and etc. So Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, who was one of the speakers, he said, "I agree with most of the stuff that was being said, except for one thing. One of the rabbis said, if you can't afford mezuzahs, I'll let, we have a gemach, borrow money and you'll be able to pay back later." He said, no. He said, you never borrow money if you don't know how you're going to pay back. There's a halakha, you only have to spend up to 20% of your assets to do a positive commandment, like to put a mezuzah on your door. If you don't have the money, better to live in a house without a mezuzah. This is Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky talking, not me. Better to live in a house without a mezuzah than to borrow money and not know how you're going to pay back. Of course, if someone says, don't worry, I'll give you the mezuzahs. If you can't pay me back, it's okay. Okay, that's something else. But in a case where you have no idea how you're going to pay back, so then Rav Yaakov says, better to live in a house without a mezuzah than to have to go into debt. In fact, there's a famous story with the Gera Rebbe. The Gera Rebbe, someone came, one of the Ravs, you know, because Rebbe's or Ravs came to visit him. What happened was, during the war, I think it was World War II, it was a bad, terrible situation, so he borrowed a lot of money, not for himself, to help many people in need. And it was time to pay back, and he couldn't pay back. So he figured he'll go to the Gera Rebbe for some eitzah, for advice, what to do. So it was a long trip. It was like, you know, 75 miles, and before, like, plane, he took a train, and he was all agitated. He walked into the Gera Rebbe, and he walked out a lot more agitated. And he went back on the train, and the Gera Rebbe sent someone to go back with him, and he asked, what happened? He said, when he told the Gera Rebbe what happened, he said in Yiddish, I don't know how to say it in Yiddish, he said, never borrow money, you don't know how you're going to pay back. Never become a Baal Chov if you have no means of paying back. So he got him all scared, like he was all agitated, he didn't know what to do. And then, so the Gera Rebbe, without him knowing, sent a telegram back to have some guy help him out. But the message was, never go ahead and borrow money if you don't know how to pay back. As Rav Yaakov said, it's better to live in a house without a mezuzah. And then that someone asked Rav Pam, I borrow money to pay for a house from a relative. So what should I do? Should I still give meiser? Should I still give 10% of my money? Or should I pay back? He says, giving 10%, that's a nice midas chasidus. That's a lower level obligation. But paying back some of your money, that's a real obligation, a higher level, and therefore obviously pay back the loan. Of course, if you want to keep track and you go ahead and you see what you, and when you get money, you can give back more miser if you want. But that's what we learned from Avram Avinu. Avram, even though Avram himself didn't take any booty, but he didn't tell anyone else, to other people, he said, go ahead, take what you want. Because don't be a tzaddik at someone else's expense. Be a tzaddik at your own expense. So therefore, that's why he didn't take any booty, but he let them take it. And when he took care of the kishka, the children, they had doubles and triples. But when he told the servant to go out to get the water, yuklachna ma'atmayim, only take a little bit of water because, it's a long schlep to the wells and get the water. And that's just some of the ideas we learn from Avram Avinu.